Are you friends with Jesus?
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
This morning's message is called, Are You Friends with Jesus? Now, they just sang that little chorus, What a friend we have in Jesus. But my question is, in today's sermon, are you friends with Jesus? So we want to talk about this morning. As we begin, I want you to go to John's Gospel, and we're going to learn a little bit about friendship this morning and what that is. John chapter 15 and verse 12 is where I want to start. Jesus said, This is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant does not know what his Lord does, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. Wow, what an awesome thing that Jesus said to his disciples and to us, that I no longer am calling you a servant, I am calling you my friend. Now, how many of you know the importance of the word friend?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to pick on Brother John here, and I'm glad he's here, and he knew this was coming, because one of the big jokes with John is that when he calls me, he asks if his friend is around, which means Laura. And I said, oh, I haven't made the friend list yet. And he said, no, not yet. You see, because friends are special. And I'm hoping that after today's sermon, I will either be a friend in his list or not be a friend anymore with John.
It's okay.
Jesus said, I call you friends. This is awesome because, you know, as I began this week, as the Lord began to lay this upon my heart, a lot of us, you know, we all have different personalities, and we know that, but a lot of us, when we look at Jesus, a lot of us look at, well, He is my Lord, He is my Master, and whatever He says, whatever the Holy Spirit says, I will do. Almost as that word servants that Jesus said. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's the way that we look at Jesus. And we say, well, if He says it, I'm doing it. And that's just the way it is. But we look at Him that way. How many of us can shift gears and look at Jesus as a friend? Because that's a little bit more difficult, because when we talk about friends, how many of you have friends? John, we know you have friends, right? How many of you don't have any friends? That's good. Because all of us have somebody that's in our lives that we consider a friend. Now, this word that Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you a friend. And that word has the meaning of having affection for and actively fond of. So Jesus says, I am calling you someone that I have a deep affection for and that I am very fond of. How many of you think of Jesus that way? Just as a show of hands, that He is that individual that is very affectionate towards you and very fond of you. But if you're like my personality and my character, you know, the way I look at Jesus and most of my life is that He's my Lord, He's my Master, and what He says, I will do. And again, that's not a bad thing, but it's the way that maybe sometimes the way that we're raised, and that, well, these are the rules, and we keep the rules, and this is how it's supposed to be, and that's what we do. And sometimes it's hard for those of us that look at things that way to see Jesus as that friend. Because when we look at our friends, and we meet together with them, if you have a friend and you meet together with them, let's say Pat's my friend. So Pat, come on up here a minute. You're going to be my friend for the day. Not just for the day, all right? You can be my friend. So let's say that I'm going to meet with Pat and I've designed the time to meet with him. And when Pat shows up, I'm going to say, "Oh, Pat."
Just give me my money.
Would you do that with your friends?
No.
We wouldn't do that, right? Yeah. Thank you. You can sit down.
Thanks, Jake.
So when our friends come around, though, we're not bowing down in essence to them. Right? But we're friends. There's an affection one for another in that friendship. And so it's what I'm saying is that we should worship God. There is a time for that, but He is saying that I am calling you a friend, and I want to join together with you as a friend. And it's sometimes difficult. How many of you have a difficult time with that? Anybody in the house? Besides me, okay, I'm the only one that got my hand up. Okay, there's a couple others. Okay? When we look at Jesus this way, it begins to make an entirely different shift in us and our reaction with Him. And this is an interesting thing because I want to talk about, do we really comprehend what it means to be a friend with Jesus? And we all say that we have friends, because I asked you that earlier. Again, how many of you have friends? Okay. How many of you have what we consider, well, we have friends, but we have true friends? Anybody ever? Oh, now there's some more hands that are going up. Okay. What is the difference between friends and true friends? Interesting question, huh? If I was to ask you that, which I am right now, Patty, what's the difference?
Someone that you are familiar with and like, but then there's your friends that you, when you've got a problem, you run to. And they'll be there.
You go to the true friend, right? So there's actually different, yeah, Rick.
Were you going to say? True friend is somebody that knows your faults and still loves you.
They know you, but yet they still love you.
Relationship.
Yeah, it is a relationship together, which is different. There are many words that are in the scriptures and for the word friend, and this one, when Jesus said, "I call you friend," I'm calling you that affectioned one, the one that I have relationship with, okay? And that's really important for us to get a hold of. Because these are the ones that you can share your intimate heart with, and they're not going to tell you that you're crazy, and or they are going to tell you when they think you're wrong. How many of you have friends like that? And you can deal with those individuals telling you that, hey, you're offline here. Okay? That's, you're going in the wrong direction. And we can deal with that because there's relationship together there. And this is the kind of friend that Dee and Shauna so rudely interrupted my message.
We follow directions.
They were put up to that, okay? They didn't just do that. What a friend we have in Jesus would be this affectioned one that we can have a relationship with. And that's really, really important for us to understand that He is saying, You are my true friends. And as we look at this, we're going to look at what is a true friend, and we're going to kind of compare what Jesus does in comparison to the other word for friend means an acquaintance or a neighbor. How many of you would say that your neighbor is your friend? You, some of you say, I don't know my neighbors. But they're acquaintances, or you know somebody and you say, yeah, that's a friend of mine. But yet you're not going to share those intimate things with your neighbor, right? Unless they're your true friend. Or your acquaintance. You're not just going to walk up to somebody that's an acquaintance of yours and they say, hi, you go, oh, let me pour out my heart to you. At least I hope you're not going to do that. Right? But Jesus says, I'm your true friend. So let's take a look at some scriptures here. And take a look at what a true friend is. Proverbs 18:24. And we're going to be staying in the book of Proverbs for just a little while. So you can hang in there. So the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. And verse 24 says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now this is an interesting proverb here, because he is saying that if you want to have friends, what do you need to be? You have to be a friend. There are sometimes individuals that come to me over the years and say, I have no friends. Well, in order to have a friend, you need to be a friend. And that means that you have to put yourself out there and get to know people and have started relationships with individuals. So when we look at this, a man that has friends must show himself to be friendly. And so we look at Jesus in this. Did Jesus show himself to be friendly to you? Did Jesus, let me ask you this, did you approach Jesus or did he approach you? Yeah, he approached us. In other words, people say, oh, well, I came to Jesus and I got saved and I decided to give my life to him. You didn't have any matter in that, because the scriptures say that unless the Father draws you, unless the Holy Spirit draws you, there is no relationship. There is no salvation. So he came to you. He showed himself friendly to you. So think about that Jesus did, and he's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, sometimes you can have a brother or sister that is your true friend, and that's a great thing to have. But again, this Jesus showed himself friendly, and he sticks closer than a brother. That is the phraseology, that he is going to be intimate with you, and you can share with him anything. And he can share with you. Again, I ask you, are you friends with Jesus? See, sometimes people see Jesus as, well, you know, I'm just not going to say anything to him because I don't want the Holy Spirit to convict me. Why don't you want the Holy Spirit to convict you? The Holy Spirit convicting you is what puts you on the right path where God wants you to be at. So he wants you to feel very secure in sharing anything with him. Anything. Your thoughts and your feelings. Now, some people say, I don't need to do that because God already knows my heart. Yeah, it's true, God knows your heart. But he wants you to share it with him. He wants you to get intimate with him and understand. He wants to know your very heart. As a matter of fact, how many of you have ever read that scripture that's out of Isaiah? That Isaiah said, come, let us reason together. Come, let's talk together. Isaiah 1:18. And this is how God's heart is for us, to be friends with Him. So a true friend, in order to be a true friend, you must be a friend. Do we consider Jesus a friend? And do we take the time to share our hearts with Him? Proverbs chapter 17, if you'll go back just a chapter here, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So, interesting scripture. There's actually two parts to that, but we're going to stick with the front one here. A friend loves at all times. Now, this was, I forget who it was that said relationship. That was you, Betty, right? A friend who is a true friend will love you at all times. Except for when you make a mistake, right? Then they quit loving. Now, the greatest relationship that I know of in my time is Sister Joyce and her.
Oh, my goodness.
How many years were you married?
67.
67 wow. Years. And they loved each other. Did Herb ever make any mistakes? Did you still love him?
Absolutely.
And when you made mistakes, did he still love you?
He did.
That's pretty apparent with 67 years of marriage. That's the way it is. It goes beyond marriage. It goes to friends. Loving one another. Would you say that, sister?
Absolutely.
And that's the desire that God has for relationships and marriage, that we come together and we become what we consider best friends. Right? Where you can share anything. And this is the desire that God has for us. He is not looking down on us saying, you know what, Larry, you messed up. So guess what? The hammer's coming down. On you. And if you do enough things to get back my love, then I'll give it to you. That's not the way God works. A friend loves at all times. So we're talking about a true friend, and that's exactly what Jesus has done. He loves at all times. Now that was number one. You must be a friend. A true friend must be a friend. Number two, friends talk openly. They're able to share back and forth. There is not something where you're like, oh man, I don't know whether I want to share that with them because that might go somewhere that it ought not to go. How many of you ever said, hey, I want to share something with you, but it stays between us? Anybody ever say that? Yeah, because this is something that God is looking. Proverbs chapter 27. Jump over forward a couple chapters here. In Proverbs chapter 27, verses 5 and 6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's what I was talking about earlier, that a friend can come to you and tell you things that no other person can tell you. Does anybody have anything, anybody like that in your life? They can come and they can tell you things that no one else can get away with saying that. And again, faithful are the wounds of a friend. When you look at that, you're like, wait a minute, the wounds of a friend? Why would my friend be wounding me? Because sometimes what true friends have to say hurt. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Skip, you know what I'm talking about?
No, I've never been hurt.
Never been hurt. Okay. you and I will become friends then, so I can help you with that, right?
Oh, good.
But yeah, sometimes we have to do that with that friend of ours to say, out of line. Straighten it up, buddy. And we take it because of that friend. Now, we might get a little bit irritated. Nobody in here would get irritated if your friend said that, right? We take it because we know that individual loves us. And that's exactly what Jesus does, is that He will come to us and the Holy Spirit will do this as a friend for us. To wound us, to say, stop this because this is not right. Stop doing that. We have to be open. Number three, what a true friend is, friends will sharpen each other. How many of you have heard this scripture again in the same chapter? Verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. True friends will sharpen you. Acquaintances could care less what happens to you. If you have a true friend and you are being a true friend to someone, you're going to sharpen them. Anybody have an idea what that means, to sharpen someone?
Does it mean like improve, help improve?
Help improve, yes. How many of you enjoy writing with a dull pencil? What do you do with it? Yeah, or if you have the electric one. Because you want a sharp tip on that pencil, because the sharp tip gives you clarity. And if you were like me in school, I am a lefty. Any southpaws that we have in here? All right. A couple, yes, very good. So lefties have a unique problem in school. When you're writing with a pencil, you're going from this side to this side, and just what you wrote got all smeared as you came across. You know what I'm talking about? Only the lefties would understand that, right? And so we do crazy things like, you know, put a piece of paper underneath our hand so we don't smear coming across the paper. But it's especially bad when you have a dull pencil that is just smearing everywhere. So you need a sharp pencil. So a friend that sharpens another friend will make them better than what they are. And that will be their only intent, is to make you better. Not to make fun of you. Not to say, hey, you're a ding-dong. But to make you better. Iron sharpens iron. And we need to have that. Each one of us really should have that kind of a friend in our lives. And some of you are saying, why do I want that? You need that in your lives. You have to have that in your lives to make you sharper, to make you what God has intended you to be. And some of you might say, yeah, but you're the pastor, you can say that. Hey, listen, I have someone that sharpens me. That guy sitting in the back right there, Brother Rick Hammer. He can say things to me that no one else can say. And he sharpens me when I need sharpened. And there's times when I sharpen him.
Amen.
We need that because iron sharpens iron. How many of you are into knives by any chance? Philip, you better raise your hand in the back there, okay? Yeah. And you enjoy knives. But there is nothing better than a dull knife when you're trying to cut steak, right? Right? Trying to cut that. So you need a sharp knife. And you need that kind of friend. And that's what Jesus does in our lives. He sharpens us. He's that friend. We have that kind of friendship, and we can communicate back and forth. You understand what Jesus has done? He's put himself out there as your friend. Now you put yourself in there as his friend. His friend. Now, I also wrote down some things. What is not a true friend, according to the Scriptures? What is not a true friend? A true friend is one that will not truly forgive you when you have messed up. Proverbs chapter 17, back there again to chapter 17. Verse 9. He that covers a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. Now that's a difficult one. Sometimes we look at these scriptures and say, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't understand what that means, but let me explain that to you real quickly here. It really means a Hallmark movie. I've watched a lot of Hallmark movies. You guys know that, right? And maybe every other one. Here's a situation where the man meets the woman, they haven't seen each other for 15 years. And then, one of them's upset because 15 years ago, the other one did something to them. And for the first 10-15 minutes of the show, they're angry with that individual for something that happened 15 years ago. Now, there's nobody in here that does that, I know, right? You're holding a grudge or you're unforgiving for something that happened 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. You're holding the grudge. You refuse to forgive the individual. Let me tell you something. He that covers a transgression means he that forgives someone of their transgression. That individual is operating in love. But the individual that continues to bring it up over and over and over and over again, they are separating true friends. You are making it so that there will never be a true friendship if you refuse to forgive what that individual has done. Has anybody ever had a friend that you considered a true friend hurt you? Come on, a couple of you. All right. Most of us in the house here. Well, they hurt me. So I'm done with them. And every time they try to come back in your life to try to make things right, you're saying, well, you remember when you did that? You remember when you did this, Larry? You remember? Remember, Pat? Remember when you did this? And sometimes, in my counseling over the years, when I do marriage counseling, we have one or the other that's continually bringing up the past. Remember what you did. Remember what you did. Remember what you did. And then we have a session about forgiveness and about there needs to be forgiveness if this thing is going to work. And then one will say, okay, I forgive you. And then the next time we meet, it's over and over. Remember what you did. Remember what you did. Remember what you did. Remember what you did. You cannot have a friendship within a marriage or any other place if you continue to do that. So if that is something that you have had in your life, it is time to get rid of that. And especially with a spouse or with a very good friend, you keep bringing up the past and what they've done, there is no forgiveness there. That is not a true friendship. Number two, using friendship of another individual for your own purposes and your own good. There's sometimes that people say, oh, you're my friend, you're my friend, you're my friend. And the only reason that they're calling them friends is because of what you can get from them. You know, rich people have a lot of friends. And when somebody comes into a whole lot of money, all of a sudden, they have lots of friends, right? Verse 14 of chapter 27, it's interesting that these two chapters, 17 and 27, have a lot to say about friendship. Verse 14, he that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. How many of you ever read that before? One, yes, okay, thank you. A couple of you have read this. This is an interesting scripture here. And again, it's one of those ones like, what in the world is this talking about? He that blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it'll be counted a curse to him. Now, before I really studied this, really what I thought this meant, Sister Joyce, was when I was, let's say I was 15, and I was in a church choir out in Pomona, California, and we traveled like every summer, and we went to churches doing concerts and things like that. But this lady that was in charge of our choir, this is no joke. We'd be in like a barracks. Somebody would put us up in a barracks at 4 o'clock in the morning. This woman would come in at 4 o'clock in the morning and say, good morning, rise and shine, and give God the glory, glory. How many of you at 4 o'clock in the morning would appreciate that? Philip says he would. And initially, I thought that that's what that meant, somebody coming in with a loud voice and being irritating to you, but that's really not what that means. When we look at the scripture, this means, the Amplified Version says, the one that flatters another individual loudly with praises will be seen as a sinister person. So basically what this means is the individual that loudly comes in to a group, let's say we're all together here, and Caleb, you got money. Lots of money, right? I don't know where you got it, but you got it, right? So Caleb comes into church this morning, and the very first thing that I do is, good morning. I'm not looking at everybody else. Good morning, Caleb. I'm glad you came to Living Water Church this morning. Man, we are so glad to have you. Is everything going well for you? Wow, you are an amazing individual, and man, everybody loves you, buddy. He that is loudly flattering another individual only for the purpose of getting something out of them, that's not a true friend. Not at all. And people of God should never do that. And unfortunately, within the churches and within the pulpits, we see pastors doing that. Someone comes in and they have money. The pastor is trying to loudly proclaim the praises of these individuals for the purpose of what? Getting the money. The child of God should never do that with any individual. It makes no difference whether an individual has money or you want something from that individual, so you're going to flatter them out in public to get something from them. Shame on us if we're doing that. Because Jesus would never do that. And that should never be what we are doing. The third thing, this is not a friend. This individual truly does not want to know you. They don't. They're not concerned about what is happening actually in your life. Now, this is a story that some of you may have seen, may have glanced over, but I want you to turn to the book of Mark, over in the New Testament. Story about Jesus. In Mark chapter 3 is where we're going to go to. Verse 20. Now this comes on the heels of Jesus gathering his disciples, and we see in a few verses above that all of his disciples' names. And then in verse 20. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And verse 19 says, after he had gathered these disciples, they went into a house. And a multitude starts gathering around the house. And really what this means, John, is that these people were so many that the disciples and Jesus didn't even have a chance to eat after coming down off of the mountain. Verse 21, and when his friends heard of it, supposing friends, his disciples, saw this going on, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, by the prince of the devils, he cast out these devils. Now, most of us pay attention to when Jesus said, hey, I'm not doing this by the devil's power. That's what the Pharisees were accusing him of. But let me give you the story here so you understand this. Multitude gathered around the whole house, just thronging, and Jesus is ministering to them. These disciples came in, and the scripture says that they thought he was beside himself. You know what that means? They thought he was a lunatic. They thought Jesus was a lunatic because he was sharing all these things with these individuals that were around him, and they wanted to go in and pull them out. Another translation of that says that they thought his head was puffing up. Did they really know Jesus? There was no intimacy at that point with these people that were his friends, that he had chosen. And the question is, do we really know the individuals? Do we attempt to know people? Because true friends really don't want to get to know you. So be careful, and this is what we tell our kids. Careful who you choose as your friends. Because those that will call themselves your friends, where will they be when you're truly in need? I'm out of here, Jack. I didn't sign up for this. When you truly have a need, will Jesus be there for you?
Amen.
When you truly have a friend, and if an individual says to you, hey, whatever you need, I'll be there. Right? Seems like that was an old folk song that was back in the 70s, right? I'm your friend. I will be there. But will they truly be there when the going gets tough? How many of you ever had someone say that they were your friend, but when you really needed them, they weren't there? And then there's all kinds of excuses of, well, you know, I had this to do, I had that to do. If you're my friend and I am in need, where will you be? And vice versa. Yeah, but that's not something I really like to do. Well, if you're a friend, You're going to go and do that. You're going to be there. End of story. Do we really attempt to know Jesus being His friend? Do we go out of our way to really know Him? Or will we just come Sunday morning and say, well, Jesus, just, you know, pour into me something this Sunday and I'll just try to store it in my memory bank? Or are we actively going after Him to find out about Him? You know, the Apostle Paul told the Philippians, I think it's in chapter 3, he said, that I might know Him. He meant intimately know Jesus. That means every day, talking with Him. And I'm not talking about you just doing all the talking. Listening. Having a conversation. Do you know that Jesus wants to be your friend? He wants to have that relationship every day with you. Others may think you're crazy, but as you're driving around, you say, Lord, what do you want to talk about today? What's on your mind? Or this is something that's on my mind, Lord. And having this conversation, tell me a little bit more about this, Lord. How many of you believe that He wants to do that with you? He does. He wants to be a friend. According to His Word, we know that. Jesus is the true friend here. How many of you have figured that out so far?
Amen.
He's the true friend. Luke chapter 11. And I want to share something with you. In this particular portion of Scripture, I have always loved this. And I guess mainly because this whole friendship thing, God has been working on me over the last 5-10 years with being a friend and receiving friends. Being a friend to Jesus and letting Him be a friend to me. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And Jesus said to them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. All right, Marty, I'm coming to your house at midnight.
Okay. You know where the key is.
Well, let's have a lapse of memory. I don't know where the key's at. But someone's come to my house, and I need what you have in your house. I'm coming to the side door. Bang, 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 bang. What's Marty going to do?
Get the shotgun.
Get the shotgun, right?
Not yet.
And I don't get any reply, so I go to the bedroom window. Bang, 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 bang. Finally, I get an answer. The shotgun is out. Who is it? Who goes there? It's Pastor. Are you crazy? What are you doing here?
You know where the key is.
I had some people come and I need this. Where's the Grey Poupon? I need that to feed my guests. That's the scenario. My question is, how many of us would get up? How many of us would get up? Verse 7, and he from within shall answer and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. That would probably be most of our answers, right?
Yeah.
Depending on who it was, right? I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needs. In other words, the friend kept knocking and says, I need. And if it is a true friend, will you get up for it?
Absolutely.
He will get up and give me what I need.
But also a hard time.
Yes. And a hard time with that.
That's what friends.
But that's normal. Lance, if I knock on your door at midnight, will you answer the door and let me in? He's thinking about it. Jane, will you let me in? He said, I wouldn't wake up. That's the kind of friends, true friends, and what they do. Okay? And what they help each other out with in the times of need. Now, I know for sure that if I went to Larry's house and I said, I need a pack of Gulp minnows, and Larry had them, would you give them to me?
Probably two packs.
How much more this friendship with Jesus? When we go to Him and we have this communication, is He going to meet our needs? He's going to meet our needs. Because we come back to, you know what? Jesus will be there whenever and whatever we need. That's the friend that we have in Jesus. So in order, as I wrap this up, in order to be a true friend to Jesus, we have a choice to make. And again, I always like to use the whole counsel of God's Word and balance this out. And would you go with me over to the book of James? James chapter 4 and verse 3. He said, you ask and you don't receive because you ask it amiss, that you might consume it on your own lust. Do you know how many people were asking Jesus for stuff? How many people do you know that they show no fruits of being a believer in Jesus Christ, but yet they're saying, I'll pray, I'm going to pray, I'm going to, yeah. And Jesus is saying, you ask and you don't receive. Why is that? Because you're asking amiss. You adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship of the world, friendship there is deep acquaintance. Very fond of. It's that same word. If you are very fond of the world, you are very intimate with the world. He says, don't you know that this kind of friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So we have a choice to make. He's proven His friendship to us. You need to prove your friendship to Him. If you choose to be so intimate with the world and with the way that the world is, you cannot be the friend of God. You cannot be the friend of Jesus that He's desiring that relationship with. He's asking us to put that down and be His friend. So again, I ask, are you friends with Jesus? That's the desire, and I think that what God is asking us to do more and more and more is to have this kind of relationship with Jesus. Not just knowing Him a little bit, but knowing Him. Being a friend. Communicating back and forth with our Lord. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
How many of us, just as a response to this message, would say, Jesus, help me to be a better friend to you? Because we spend so much of our time doing other things. And I'm not saying that we have to be, you know, constantly in this spiritual mode, because people mistake that it's a daily living with Jesus. You don't have to be any spiritual. You're just talking with Him. Throughout the day, talking with Him. Communicating with Him. Lord, thank You so much for Your Word today. We bless You. We love You. And Lord, as we get ready to go into communion time, I'm going to ask that this message would just flood us. And Lord, teach us to be a better friend to You. Teach me to be a better friend to You. And wherever I go off, get me back in line. Help me be able to communicate freely with You, Lord. In Jesus' name, God's people say, amen.
We thank You for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.